Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Loving God, indeed, you provide our every need. You feed our bodies, you feed our souls. Yet we hunger to know you and to love you more and more. So God, nourish us with your word today, that we may nourish others. Through Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Well, for the last several weeks, we've been looking at the different movements of our spiritual development and maturity. Steward shifts, if you will, from consumption to contentment, from grasping to generosity, from grumbling to gratitude. And this morning, the stewardship that we're looking at is from neglect to nurture. When we see life, all of life, our life, as a gift from God, we become more attuned to the sanctity of life, the preciousness of it. When I remember this, when I slow down and pay attention, I find that I'm more engaged. I care more. I'm compassionate. See, Christ dares us to care, to notice, to treasure, to enjoy our planet, our loved ones, neighbors, strangers, God, and our very souls. Leaving things a little better than when we first got them. So let's hear now from our morning scripture readings first, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, selected verses. Anyone who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. And anyone who takes care of a master will be honored. Know well the condition of your flocks. Give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever, nor a crown for all generations. When the grass is gone and new growth appears and the herbage of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing. And the goats, the price of a field. There will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and nourishment for your servant girls. And then our reading from the New Testament. James, kind of like the Proverbs of the New Testament. Chapter 1, verse 21. This is from the Message translation. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. There was a fascinating psychological study done at Princeton Theological Seminary back in the 70s. Now, most of the guinea pigs were Presbyterians. By the way, so this should catch our attention. And two psychologists at the school created a modern-day parable of the Good Samaritan. They explained to the unknowing seminary students that they were studying the vocational placement of seminarians. So they were asked these volunteers to give a brief talk, where half of the group were to speak on job opportunities and the other half on the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, one by one, each of the volunteers were instructed to proceed from their present location on campus to another place across the campus to give this talk on one of those two subjects. And so the volunteers were sent out in 15-minute intervals. A third of the group was told, you're leaving very early, so you can take your time to get there. Another third was told it was time to go right now. The last third of the group, they were told that they were late and they needed to rush to get to their talk. So, some interesting things happen. But none of them knew, all the while, strategically placed along each of their paths to the speaking location, was a person lying in a doorway in an alley, a young man coughing and groaning in pain. Help me! Can you make a guess as to how many of these aspiring Presbyterian ministers were also modern-day Good Samaritans? Did the ones speaking on the Good Samaritan act more Good Samaritanly than the ones speaking about career opportunities? Well, it turns out their speech topic didn't impact if they stopped or not. What did matter was how hurried they felt. Of the third in the low hurry condition, 63% of them stopped to help. In the moderately hurried condition, 45% stopped to help the young man. In the high hurry group, 10% stopped to help. The message, slow down. Now, God has a sense of humor. Just a few minutes before the service now, there was a gentleman that came out here and said, is the pastor here? And I thought of saying, no, I don't know where he is. And I said, hi, I'm John, I'm the pastor. And he said, I need your help. And I'm thinking, oh crud. The service starts in about 17 minutes. I still have some things to get ready. And then I remembered the sermon. Ministers need the sermon. I get an advantage over you guys. I'm working on it all week, so I get to think about it even before it's delivered. And I remembered the sermon. I'm like, hello, John. I was like, what do you need? He's like, my mom died. There's a funeral service up in Phoenix. I need gas money. I said, follow me to the gas station. We're getting you some gas. And he was able to go. Breathe deep. Listen. Pray. Pay attention. And you're going to see better. And then act upon what you see before you. You see, in Christ, we've been given freedom to be responsible. We've been empowered to make a choice in our lives, good choices, and to do what God has called us to do, to move from neglect to nurture. Now, the prophet Isaiah describes, before Christ was even born, what this coming Messiah would be like, how he would roll in his life. And he says this, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. You see, with Christ in us, we too can get care for God's creation and care for one another. One of God's masterpieces is the world that he created. You see, the artist is honored when you take good care of their artwork, right? So future generations, so we can enjoy it. That's why we have museums that preserve pieces of art and take tremendous care of them so we can really enjoy them in future generations as well. And so in the same way, we have a responsibility to care for creation because it honors the one who authored it and created it, our Creator. But there's also something spiritual about being connected to God's creation. And I think our passages kind of hinted at that. When we find ourselves in harmony with our Creator, and as Christ's new creation, and we're living our lives within creation that God made, we find ourselves, when we're attuned and aware, we find ourselves in an elegant interplay between tending God's garden and then receiving God's provision. It's a dance. We're in tune with God, how God designed us as his creation. We're in tune with the world that God created. We become more godly. We realize that we are fashioned in God's image and God's likeness. As James says, like our gardener God, may he landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. We become godly when we act like this. And so it takes time to garden, to nurture. We need to make time, even if we don't have it, to tend the garden of our relationships, to tend the garden of our world. Now, we're not only to be stewards of God's creation, but we're to steward our bodies that God also created. The scriptures teach us our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So rather than neglecting or abusing our bodies, we are entrusted with our bodies. They are a gift. It's the only one we have. So we care for them. We enjoy our bodies. We honor other people with our bodies. We glorify God with our bodies. We are thankful for what we've been entrusted with. You see, stewardship, it's about giving your all to God. Giving 110%, everything inside of your being, your body, your mind, your soul, your strength, giving it all to God as an act of worship. And so that entails caring for the earth, tending your faith, nurturing your family, working diligently, investing in others, in yourself, all in Christ's strength and his love. It's all an act of worship, stewardship. Upkeep of these areas, it's a spiritual discipline. In our perfectly imperfect attempts, we seek to be, in God's grace, wise, generous, frugal, thoughtful with our resources. We maintain what we have to avoid waste. We don't run ourselves ragged to get rich, but we take care of business. We study to show ourselves approved in school. We take pride in a job well done, in a project completed. We work well with others. Trust in God entirely, and we plan for the future, like the animal kingdom, setting aside the resources entrusted to us for the future, for saving, for giving, for living. Now, we read earlier in Proverbs this: know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. Scholars point out this isn't just a lesson in farming. This speaks to how we lead. This is for kings. This is for anyone in leadership. How we run our households. How we exercise authority in our lives. And how we live out our faith. Now, the final area of stewardship is this. The stewardship from neglect to nurture is living a just and merciful life. Showing mercy to those in need. Going back to that study. It means being a good neighbor, a good Samaritan in our tragic and our broken world. Rather than neglecting, ignoring, stepping on others, we're advocates of the least of these. We're willing to risk and intervene in unjust systems. Praying, living out the Lord's Prayer when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," that God might use us to help it arrive. But we remember too, we're not God. We're to be, I believe, activists in varying degrees, but careful not to fall into what I've heard about recently, activism-ism, where we bypass God altogether and do it all ourselves and think it's all on us. And our particular brand of politics, well, that becomes the gospel. This day and age, it's easy for politics to become an idol, even an addiction, with our 24-hour news cycle. Politics is a means. It's an instrument. But politics is not God, Emmanuel. However, Not to let you off the hook, or me. We do labor as ambassadors and stewards of Christ in our world with God's strength. And so with realism and hope, we nurture the vulnerable. We're open to be used by God to bend the way things are to the way things ought to be, towards the arc of God's justice, God's mercy, God's shalom, God's peace. And so we are a people who engage the world. We respond to evil with justice and love. But we know that only the resurrection overcomes evil. Being wise, not naive, we extend Christ's compassion, of forgiveness, hospitality, to all creation, to those that are in need, even to ourselves. We make the stewardship from neglect to nurture. Amen.